In this special report, we're going to be looking at why Trump has brought us to, well, the last chapter of the U.S. empire, and Trump's fatal decision to attack Iran is almost certainly going to end in the destruction of the U.S. empire as we know it. And that's a prediction of Professor Jiang, who, of course, is the host of the popular YouTube channel called Predictive History. And he was recently on a show called Breaking Points, and he had some really profound things to say in explaining why he sees this. And so I'm going to play a couple of minutes for you here, and then I'll have my comments and explain why I think he's correct. But let's take a listen.
So given my analysis of how the war's progressing, I think that Iran has many more advantages over the United States. The reality is that right now, it's a war of attrition between the United States and Iran, and the Iranians have been preparing 20 years for this conflict. In their eschatology, in their religion, this is a war against the great Satan. They've had many practice runs. Last June was a 12-day war when the Iranians were able to examine, analyze the strike capacities of both the Israelis and the Americans. And they've had a lot of time, 8 months, to prepare fully for this new attack. They, through their proxies, the Houthis, Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Shia militias, have been able to really grasp the American mentality. And now they have a pretty good strategy of how to weaken and ultimately destroy the American empire. So what the Iranians are doing is they're waging war against the entire global economy. And so they are striking the GCC countries. And not only are they striking GCC countries, American bases, but they're going after the critical energy infrastructure of these bases. They blocked off the Strait of Hormuz. And eventually, they will go after the water desalination plants, which is the lifeblood of these nations because they don't have fresh water supply. In fact, the water desalination plants provides 60% of the GCC's water supply.
All right, I'm pausing it right here because I just want to comment on what he said, that the water desalination plants are going to be targeted. I think at least one of them is already destroyed in Israel. But also that Iran is actually waging war against the Western economic infrastructure. That is, the Western world depends on energy from these Gulf states. And that energy can only come out of these Gulf states if there's not a state of war with Iran because of the Strait of Hormuz, and also because Iran is, of course, causing chaos in these countries that host U.S. military bases. So not only is Iran sending a very powerful ballistic message, in essence, to these Gulf states and saying, look, if you host American military bases, then you're giving aid to the enemy. And we're going to make you pay a price for that, such as launching drones at your hotels or airports or whatever the case may be. But it's more than that. It's the fact that Iran can make some of these areas literally unlivable by cutting off the water supply. And what a lot of people don't know is that by closing the Strait of Hormuz, that also cuts off the food supply to millions of people in the UAE or Qatar or Kuwait, for example, or parts of Iraq, etc. I know there are other routes in northern Iraq, but the ports that open up into the Persian Gulf there, which requires the Strait of Hormuz to be able to sail through, those ports, that's where most of the food comes in. I should clarify for the cities, for the main cities there. Surely, you know, rural people in rural Iraq or whatever, they are a lot more self-sufficient, just like rural people anywhere. But for the cities, which is where most of the people are by definition, they depend on food coming in by ship. And the water desalination plants are absolutely critical for survival because of the climate there. extremely dry, arid, you know, very little rainfall, depending on the country. The rainfall in many places is less than 10 inches a year. I mean, it can be an extreme desert, you know, depending on the region there. So it doesn't actually take much for Iran to make these areas inhospitable by destroying certain things. But even beyond that, they can make these areas economically unviable. And how do they do that? Well, number one, they destroy the tourism industry. Because if hotels are starting to get bombed by drones or missiles, who wants to stay at a hotel? Who wants to travel to Dubai or you know, any major city in the area? Because they could potentially be under attack. But even beyond that, it's the insurance rates. See, in order to conduct a commercial operation in any of these countries, you normally would want to have insurance against loss or fire, or even sometimes insurance against disruptions. Well, oh, and don't forget insurance on cargo vessels in the sea. Well, those insurance rates just skyrocketed, and in many cases, you now can't get insurance. So if you're trying to newly insure a cargo ship that is going to sail, you know, through the Persian Gulf or through the Strait of Hormuz, insurers won't even touch it at the moment. Or if they do, they're going to charge you, you know, insane rates that make it non-profitable to even function. But the same thing is also true for commercial entities or factories that may exist in these various countries from, you know, Kuwait or UAE or what have you. Or even, let's say, the natural gas, oil harvesting fields, transportation, infrastructure, and storage facilities in Qatar. Those facilities are, of course, insured. But they're also sitting ducks. The same thing with the oil fields in Saudi Arabia. You would imagine that some of those, and maybe the refineries, etc., they probably have some level of insurance. But now they are essentially uninsurable. So Iran didn't have to actually destroy everything in order to achieve this result. They just had to make everything uninsurable, which means that you can't function as a business or a refinery or, you know, an LNG transporter or even a grocery store for that matter. That's what's happening right now. Iran is making these countries pay a price for being so-called allies of the U.S., and a lot of these countries are realizing that being an ally of the U.S. doesn't count anyway because the U.S. isn't defending them at all. So you can imagine the original sales pitch from the U.S. or the Pentagon back before these bases were built was, hey, you let us put an American military base here and we'll protect you. You know, we'll have anti-air defense systems. We'll have radar installations. We'll have jet fighters on the ground that can be scrambled and intercept whatever. We'll protect you. And it's turned out that's not true at all. These nations are taking hits in their cities, they're taking hits in their ports, they're taking hits on the military bases, of course, and the U.S. is incapable of stopping most of the incoming missiles and drones. And that's actually going to get much worse as the U.S. runs out of interceptor munitions in the next week or so. So it won't be long. If Iran keeps up this pace, it will not be long before there are some Gulf state nations that tell the United States, it's time to evacuate, get out, take your base and leave. You're no longer welcome here because the cost is too high. That's what Iran is inflicting upon those Gulf states right now, including Qatar, by the way, perhaps even emphasizing Qatar. Or Qatar, as some people say. I think it's Qatar. But anyway, that's what's happening. Let's continue with Professor Jiang here and see what else he has to say.
So if a drone, and you know, these drones cost $50,000, if they wiped out a desalination plant in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and it's a city of 10 million people, right? They'd be out of water in 2 weeks. And right now, the Iranians have de facto closed off the Strait of Hormuz. And the GCC gets 90% of its food from the Strait of Hormuz. So I know a lot of people are talking about the disruptions to the global economy, but right now the Iranians are actually threatening the very existence of Saudi Arabia, UAE, Bahrain, Qatar.
Okay, I'm pausing it one more time because what Professor Jiang just said was that Iran is threatening the very existence of these nations, such as Saudi Arabia and Qatar, etc. And that is absolutely true. And because of the food and water and security issues that we've just covered, it turns out that you really can't exist as a Gulf state nation unless Iran agrees to leave you alone. And until recently, Iran has left these nations alone largely. But now that's changing. Iran is launching drones and missiles and setting things on fire and blowing things up, including military bases, obviously. These countries, their airports are shut down, their tourists are freaking out and panicking in some cases. And, you know, who's going to want to go to Dubai after this if you don't know if you can ever get out? And if you're stuck there, you can't have, maybe you won't have access to water or food, and probably certainly not a firearm either, you know. So and not even some liquor to get you through if that's your thing. So this is a nightmare scenario for these Gulf state nations. If Iran continues to bomb them or, you know, strike them with missiles, they cannot function. And the United States clearly cannot protect them. So either the United States of America finds a way to utterly destroy Iran and stop this, which, of course, that's what Trump and Rubio is threatening to do. I mean, but how? How are they going to do that? Short of nukes, I'm not sure that's possible. Or these Gulf state nations are going to have to cut ties with the United States. And then that takes away their support for the U.S. dollar as the fiat currency in which they trade for things like LNG and oil, but, you know, mostly LNG out of Qatar, right? And those prices just skyrocketed for obvious reasons. But they sell in dollars. And then they funnel those dollars back into the treasury by purchasing treasuries or, you know, U.S. debt, or they funnel them back into various commercial projects in the United States. If those countries no longer exist, then that money funnel stops. And it's not really money laundering. It's just, it's a cycle of commercial flows of the money. And those flows, especially the money that purchases debt, that is, you know, Qatar or whatever nation comes to the U.S., here's $100 billion of your money back, and you just give us $100 billion of IOUs in the form of treasuries. Well, that really helps the Trump administration spend more money and print more money, because they never have to be held accountable as long as the Gulf nations don't sell the treasuries. And of course, they're all coerced to hold on to the treasuries. But China is offloading them little by little. Japan is offloading them. And nobody who is sane anywhere around the world right now is buying more treasuries other than the countries that are forced to do so, which is the Gulf states, you see? So Iran is threatening, in fact, the debt Ponzi scheme of the United States of America. That's a big part of this. But let's continue, because Professor Jiang has a lot more to say. In fact, I should let him talk more. I've been talking too much. Here he is.
The Gulf states are really the linchpin of the American economy. So what they do is they sell petrodollars, and then they recycle the petrodollars back into the American economy through the investments in the stock market. And right now, we know that the entire American economy is propped up by AI investments in data centers. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that comes from the Gulf states. So if Gulf states are no longer able to sell oil, and they're no longer able to finance this AI bubble in the United States, then this AI bubble will burst, and with it will burst as well as the entire American economy, which is really a financial Ponzi scheme.
Right.
So that's a dire situation that the Americans are facing right now.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, sir, an Amazon data center was literally hit in the UAE. And now, of course, big tech companies, which were looking at the UAE as a major potential data center investment hub with cheap and abundant energy, probably going to be rethinking that. We also wanted to talk to you about munitions. We can put this next one up here on the screen. The United States is racing to accomplish Iran mission before munitions run out. This is specifically around interceptor math. There's a famous video just from yesterday in Israel, which shows a single Iranian ballistic missile, which is being targeted by some 11 different interceptors, all of which miss. Most of those come from the United States, not to mention all of the different bases, the GCC countries that you just talked about, and the asymmetry of the cost. It's $1 million for a missile, tens of millions per interceptor in some of these cases. With these munitions running out, how does that change the global picture? So you're in China, obviously, much of the stocks in Asia of the United States are likely to have to be cannibalized if this were to go on. How is that going to affect the global picture here?
Right. So my first point is that the United States military is not designed to fight a 21st century war. Remember, the military-industrial complex came to being after World War II, and it was designed to fight the Cold War. And the Cold War was really about muscle flexing, about who was able to send people up into space, who was the first to get the person on the moon, who had the more complex missile systems. And so the entire American military strategy revolves around very sophisticated technology that costs a lot of money to build. And that's what the American air defense system is basically. And that's why we're seeing this asymmetry, as you point out, in this war, where you have these $1 million missiles trying to take out these $50,000 drones. And it's not sustainable in the long term. And so what we're seeing is really the puncturing of the aura of invincibility and invisibility that sustained American hegemony for the past 20 years, especially after the collapse of the Soviet Union. And this is really a reordering of not just the global economy, because this signals the collapse of the petrodollar and with it the entire U.S. dollar-based reserve currency system, but also the global hegemony of the United States. We're moving towards a multipolar world.
Professor, this morning, Secretary of War Pete Hegseth was asked a question about potential ground troops in Iran. He refused to rule out that possibility. And he said, you know, oh, well, we're not going to project to you what we will or will not do, but we don't want to, you know, rule anything out. We will do what it takes. Do you think that America will end up invading Iran from the ground, since it's already becoming relatively clear they won't be able to accomplish the goal of regime change or even regime collapse using just air power alone?
Right. So everyone says that the worst calamity that could happen in the United States is if it were to send ground troops into Iran. At the same time, the United States are committed to regime change in Iran. We've never had a precedent in history where you were able to regime change from the air alone. You need ground troops. And so unfortunately, what's going to happen over the next few months is that pressure will build on America to send ground troops, especially from the GCC countries and from Israel, which are being pounded right now by the Iranians. So remember that if the GCC countries, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, UAE, Bahrain, if they go, then the petrodollar goes with them. So the Americans need to protect these countries. And these countries are going to demand that either the Americans bribe the Iranians to cease, and this is like $5 trillion in indemnity, okay? Mm-hmm. Or send ground troops to wipe out the Iranian threat once and for all. And I know that there's no political will for ground troops to be used against Iran among the American people. But remember that 78% of American people was against initial strikes against Iran in the first place.
So there, Professor Jiang is talking about the ramifications if the U.S. decides to send in ground troops, which seems to be inevitable. It could take a couple of months, actually, for the ground troops to be gathered there. And, you know, you have to send in, frankly, you have to send in hundreds of thousands to even have an impact. You know, you can't send in 10,000 troops. They would all just be slaughtered. You'd have to send in hundreds of thousands of troops, turning Iran into a modern-day Vietnam. And if the United States does that, that's the ultimate trap, because the losses of U.S. soldiers will be severe, and the war will escalate. It will explode in severity and in regional disruptions. Because think about it, how long, you know, even if you sent in 1 million U.S. troops, which we don't have, an extra million troops, okay? We might have 1 million total, including all the desk jobs and the cooks and everything. But we don't have 1 million troops that can be sent in to Iran. I mean, what we might have, maybe 200,000 or something like that, maybe 300 at most. And, you know, half of those are obese, by the way, or you know, overweight, let's say. They're barely mobile, you know? They've been sitting at the desk too long. Soldiers are supposed to be mobile. That's not the case. You know, they're eating Burger King on base. So they can't really run around, you know? I mean, they're just, I'm sorry to be so blunt about it, but that's just the truth. So if they get sent into Iran, they're going to get slaughtered. And then we're going to be looking at such tremendous political blowback in the United States, and the perception of the total defeat of the U.S. military by Iran, which would give Iran tremendous credibility in the world, and it would clearly be the pivot point to a multipolar world. Because if the world realizes that the United States of America cannot defeat Iran, which I believe it cannot, then clearly it can't defeat Russia, and it clearly can't defeat China. I mean, it can't even consider the possibility of trying to defeat China. So this changes everything, and Trump is walking right into the trap, and he's going to completely obliterate the perception of U.S. invincibility around the world. Now, there's been a statement issued from the new Supreme Leader of the Islamic Revolution of Iran, a man named Alireza Arafi. Here's what he said just today. The time for negotiations is over. The United States has chosen to cross the red line, the line of irreparable harm. By launching this war, they have signed their own death warrant. They don't know when or how the axe will fall, but we hold the reins. He's not wrong, actually. He's not wrong that Trump has signed the death warrant of the U.S. empire, I believe. And so does Professor Jiang. Now it's just a matter of how it plays out. Anyway, the supreme leader, as he's called, Arafi, he continues, they brandish the nuclear specter like a scarecrow, blinded by their arrogance. They have no idea of the true extent of our power or what we are prepared to unleash. As for Israel, he says, its fate is sealed. Every strike, every crime, every act of suffering they have inflicted will come back to haunt them. They will remain in our sights, exposed, vulnerable, hunted. We walk in the shadow of the leader, and every step is a lightning bolt. And he says, Iran does not bend, Iran wins, always. So that's the mood from Iran. It's not capitulation, it's not, oh, you know, please stop bombing us and we'll give you whatever you want. No, in fact, Iran is saying, we're not even going to negotiate with you anymore, because the U.S. empire never negotiates in good faith. The negotiations are just a cover story for assassinating the negotiators and launching surprise attacks, as they did last summer, and they're doing it again, or the U.S. just did it again now with Israel. So apparently there are no more negotiations possible. And now it's going to be an all-out war. So, nope, it's not going to end in a weekend. It's not going to end in 4 weeks, as Trump is now saying. And if Trump sends ground troops in, that's going to be the death of the U.S. empire in terms of the global credibility, the ability of the U.S. to project power, you know, militarily, the weight of the U.S. currency, etc. This is how it ends. So Professor Jiang has even more. So let's give him a listen. Here we go.
So this is the key question. Why do they do this? I think there are three possibilities, okay? And I think all three possibilities are valid. The first is the idea of hubris. If you look at history, this is how empires behave. So the Mindoro kidnapping was quick, successful, and it was adrenaline rush for Trump. And that made him overconfident in the capacity of the American military, okay? So hubris is a factor, and we see this throughout history. Why did Hitler invade Stalin? Because he conquered Europe really easily, and he thought he was invincible, right? And that led to the destruction of the German army in the Soviet Union. So hubris is a factor. Then you have to look at internal political calculus, where even though America does not benefit from this war against Iran, Trump himself personally benefits. Why? Because the Saudis and the Israelis are bribing him to attack Iran. Remember that the Saudis invested $2 billion in the private equity fund of Jared Kushner, who is the son-in-law of Donald Trump. And the Israelis, through Miriam Adelson, have been financing Trump's political career, right? So Miriam Adelson, a few months back, said that she will put up $250 million if Trump were to run a third term. So Trump is getting a lot of financial and political support from the Saudis and the Israelis. Also remember that if this war goes sideways and Trump is forced to use ground troops, he will probably get approval from Congress, and this will give him emergency war powers, which will allow him to influence the midterms. So Trump is thinking about a third term. And I think at the ballot box, he probably won't get it, but if there's a war going on and you can delay elections and you have emergency war powers and people rally around the flag, then he probably will get a third term.
So did you hear that? Yeah, how disturbing is that? I've said much the same thing, by the way. Professor Jiang is explaining that Trump intends to escalate to world war, you know, to get the United States into a war, possibly a nuclear strike on a U.S. city, maybe a false flag, who knows? And then to use that to declare a really big state of emergency, and I know legally really big doesn't count, but in the minds of the American people, it does. In the minds of the American people, they will tend to acquiesce to whatever demands the government makes if we're in a new world war. So Trump could use that power, just like was used in Ukraine, to cancel elections. So Trump could remain in power indefinitely with no elections, as literally a military dictator over America. He wouldn't need an election to a third term. He would just stay in power past his existing term, and if anybody challenged him, they would just disappear, you know? And through this, Trump could suspend the Constitution effectively, as he's already done, you know, with ICE. He could banish the First Amendment. He could shut down the free press. He could banish the Second Amendment, not allow Americans to have firearms. He could banish the Fourth and Fifth Amendments, and so on. And he's already shown his willingness to do things like that with the ICE activities in Minnesota. So Trump needs a big war to have a big emergency in order to stay in office even when he's unpopular. And one of my theories about this is that this possibility explains why Trump no longer cares about what his voters wanted him to do. Because he promised the voters, we're going to have peace, no more wars in the Middle East. In fact, I've got a bunch of video clips about that. He promised the American voters, we're going to, you know, arrest all the people in the Epstein files, etc. We're going to arrest the traitors. We're going to, you know, lock her up, drain the swamp. He's no longer pursuing any of those things, not even pretending to. Because in his mind, that's no longer necessary. You know, he lied enough on the campaign trail to get elected. Now, the lies don't matter anymore. So he's just telling the truth at this point. It was to say, yeah, we don't care about you. We don't care about you anymore. We care about Israel. We care about our Zionist masters at this point. That's who's calling the shots. So the whole campaign of America First was a lie. MAGA was a lie. MAHA was obviously a lie because Trump is now offering federal protection for glyphosate herbicide, linked to cancer and many other problems. So all of it was a lie. It was just necessary to get Trump into power to where he could start World War III, declare a national emergency, cancel elections, cancel the First and Second Amendments. That's what's next in this plan, which is what Professor Jiang is actually explaining here. But there's even more to this, so let's continue with what he has to say.
That is very important. It's an eschatological factor where, if you look at the Epstein files, it's clear that we are run by secret societies. It's clear that the world is run by these individuals who have a lot of power. We don't know who they are, but they control the military. They control the national security apparatus. And these people, there are different names for these people. You can call them the Illuminati. And the Illuminati are composed of three major groups, okay? You have the Jesuits, who control the Vatican. You have the Sabbatean Frankists, which control the modern state of Israel today. And you have the Freemasons, which control the national security apparatus of the United States. And they believe that Israel, this war in the Middle East, is key to the end times in creating heaven on earth. So it's almost like a script that they're following, even though it doesn't make any geopolitical sense. Okay, so I would say that these three are the best reasons why this is happening.
So wow, right there. I mean, he just comes out and names the top three groups that he calls part of the Illuminati, that are the globalist controllers with their secret societies and all their occult stuff. You didn't used to be able to say that on a news program without being called a complete nut job. Now, it's more and more common knowledge that that's exactly how the world is configured. That's exactly who's in charge and running things, and everything is scripted from 9/11 to this current war, the war on Iran. Trump never had any intention of negotiating with Iran or finding peace. It was always just pretend in order to actually cause World War III, because that's what the Zionists think they need in order for God to come back and intervene and save them from total destruction by the rest of the world. That's their end times cult. That's, you know, it's an apocalyptic end times cult. And Professor Jiang was just explaining that with some good detail right there. And he's right. That's exactly what's happening. So it's no longer conspiracy theory to talk about this. It's all out in the open. They are starting wars on purpose. There is mass human depopulation underway. Obviously, they're not interested in peace. They're not interested in human abundance or even the continued existence of the vast majority of the human population. So the takeaway from this is that you and I have to, number one, be extremely informed and aware. And then secondly, we have to be decentralized out of the system. We have to be prepared, which is something I've been urging everybody to do for almost 25 years now. You have to have your own food supply, your own natural medicine, grow as much as you can of your own herbs, etc. You have to decentralize from the system. You have to have your own honest money, which is gold and silver or private crypto, for example. You need to have your own knowledge base. That's why you should download the free AI model that we made available last year. That's at brightanswers.ai. You can actually download the full LLM. It's a GGUF file, and you can install it and run it on your local machine. And by the way, Quen just released new 3.5 models, including a 9 billion parameter model that I'm looking at training as an update. And if I can manage to train that model with our knowledge base, you know, all of our articles and interviews and things like that, then you could have that model free of charge as well. And so you could have all your local knowledge, the, you know, endless how-to manuals. Basically, you just ask your own AI engine what to do. So take every step that you can to become more self-reliant and to decentralize. That's the way that you're going to make it through all of this. And of course, our online store, healthrangerstore.com, is where you can get lab-verified, tested foods, superfoods, nutritional supplements. Almost everything's organic. It's all tested for glyphosate and heavy metals and microbiology, salmonella, yeast and mold, etc., and other things as well. We are the only food and supplement retailer in the world that conducts this level of scrutiny and testing. So check it out, healthrangerstore.com. Also get prepared in every way you can. Check out my rangerdeals.com website, because there I've got affiliate deals with various companies that can help you get prepared. whether it's gold backs or gold and silver or de-Googled phones or what have you. Even there's a body armor supplier there. Just a few companies that I've chosen to partner with as an affiliate because I think that their solutions are really ideal for your preparedness and your survival through whatever's coming. So get ready because World War III is going to explode and it's all by design. And it's an excuse to strip away your rights, your power, and to achieve global depopulation, mass chaos, supply chain disruptions, and engineered famine at the same time. That's what's coming. Finally, read my articles on all of this at naturalnews.com, and you can find more of my videos and podcasts and interviews at brightvideos.com. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for listening. Take care.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.